Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome back to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. We're going to be talking about some hot takes, but we're going to do something a little bit different. I know it's going to shock you. It's going to surprise you, probably even some of the hosts, but it's going to be positive tonight, folks. So the Red Sox have been, I'm going to say, on a little bit of a heater, winning several games in the last week. I'm pretty content, really, really happy with what I've seen. Finally, the rookies are here. The kids are here. Terry, any thoughts?
Well, we're gonna try to keep it positive tonight. All season long, we've destroyed this team. They have won 3 of the last 4 series, so we'll try to keep the snide remarks at a minimum, even though there probably will be some. But yeah, so we've got some on social media that we're going to do. If you're you want to chime in on the stream, we can pull some off of that. So go ahead and do that. And speaking of the stream, we've had up to 700 something live viewers at once, which is amazing. Like, bigger than I thought. Yeah. And then over on the YouTube side, you and I have had the highest stream. It was last Sunday, and that was the game was over for several hours, kind of surprising. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, 328 views on YouTube, and we're not even really trying. This platform allows us to stream there, so we just do it. But Apple Podcasts, Spotify, those are our primary apps. 10,000 downloads in the last week, by the way, on there. Awesome. We haven't done that since the very month Heim Bloom got fired. So
a special time.
The interest in this team right now, whether it's good or bad, it's been interesting. And as a podcaster, that's the best you can hope. So
indeed.
All right. So let's just go to the thread here. Do we want to start off sarcastic?
No, I mean, the first one that came to my mind, it's honestly what's been going through my brain after yesterday too. This is coming from Glenn55Nola, so at Glenn. I'm presuming you're from New Orleans. If not, all good, fair play. Meyer looks comfortable. Roman just needs that first bomb. Keep both on the big club and let them play full time. Absolutely, wholeheartedly agree. Terry, you and I were talking about, you had a feeling that Roman Anthony was going to be making his way up to Boston. You didn't know when. You didn't know how, but you thought in a perfect world, who gets DFA'd, not necessarily somebody getting DFA'd or somebody gets sent down, but it had to do with Willier Abreu, and you weren't wrong. Willier didn't get sent down. He didn't get demoted. He's just on the IL. And here's the thing. Roman Anthony did not have the prettiest first game, but you know what? I'm so happy he got it out in the first game. Just get it out. Marcelo Meyer, 2 home runs yesterday. Tank shots, deep right field, represented 50% of the offense. 4 solo shots was the offense yesterday. It was Jaron Duran, first pitch of the game, Meyer twice, and then Toro. I'm content with what I've seen from the rookie so far. Yeah, you know, Roman Anthony, 1-for-12, 3 RBIs. He had a big 2-run rip into left field, which started the party. I'm okay with the idea of having the rookies play it out. We have one of the younger teams in baseball. They're going to have their moments of just, damn, why did we do that? They're young. They'll figure it out, and that's okay. If you can keep this young core together, imagine you're 21, 22 years old. You haven't even hit your prime. There should be no pressure. If you're struggling and you go 1-for-25, no one should open their mouth. Getting sent down shouldn't be a part of the picture, considering everything that's happened in Boston so far. Now, these rookies are here for one reason, because certain people are injured. And that's it. If Bregman does not get injured, if Willier Abreu is torching it right now, I really don't think that either Meyer or Anthony would have made it so far. I'm also thoroughly impressed with what we've seen from Abraham Toro. I did not think we were going to see more than 3 or 4 home runs from him at all this year. And he's been able to provide not the most flashy defense, but the fact that he can play good defense, a plethora of positions, some pop in the bat. I can't knock that. And he's not hitting it just to right field or just to left. This guy's hitting it everywhere. And it's not the, you know, the prettiest games, game in and game out. But if you can consistently do this, yeah, you're turning out to be a surprise. Now, another one of our hot takes I do want to touch base on, but before I do, Terry, is there anything you want to add to that one? So again, Meyer looks comfortable. Roman just needs that first bomb. Keep both on the big club and let them play full time. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah. Meyer's had, I don't know how many games. Let's see. I can pull it up, actually. He has played
15 total games.
Wow, that's more than I thought. All right, yep. So, and then Anthony, only 3. So it's hard for me to really compare Meyer to Anthony at this point, and I think Anthony's had a couple of, you know, moments. He drove in 2 in the middle game of the Tampa series. We won that game 3-1. Tampa only put up 1 run. So I can frame it as Anthony drove in the only 2 you really needed, and it was cool to see with runners on 2nd and 3rd, and he just shot it up the left field line, just a nice little oppo shot. So he's probably going to be the type of guy that can go to all fields. But, you know, Meyer, we've seen him a little bit more. He's had some high spots, some low spots. He's had a couple of 0-for games, 0-for-4, whatever. Annoyingly, Alex Cora has platooned him a little bit, which is annoying. But I will say this. I like Meyer's poise the most so far. And maybe Anthony will make a strong case here in the next week and a half. But it just, when you look at Meyer and you see him at the plate, he looks like he can handle it. And then he comes right up to the big leagues and they're like, I know you're a shortstop, but you're not playing shortstop. And I know you've played a bunch of second base lately, but guess what? You're not playing there either. You're going to 3rd. And he's like, yeah, cool. Put me at 3rd. And yeah, he's been fine. He's actually been very good at 3rd. I will say he made an amazing play, a diving play in Atlanta on a ball that was just stung. So anyway, I really, like I said, I like what I'm seeing from Meyer right now, and he's the most encouraging of the big 3. And you were just talking about how young this team was, and I only looked at the offensive side of the team, the lineup. I only see 3 players over the age of 30, and I didn't have time to go through the list meticulously, but Bregman is 31. Trevor Story, I think, is 32. Is he turning 33 this year? Let's see. He's 32. When was he born? November. So not really. Next year would be his age, in my opinion, would be his age 33 season. But so you got 31 Bregman, 32 Story, and Rhett Snyder's like 34, 35. He's the oldest guy on the team on the offense.
Crazy. Side. 34 is the oldest guy. I mean, we just feels like we had some 40s a couple of years ago. Last year, Rich Hill.
Yeah. You know, we did. And so it's gotten insanely young, like really fast. I mean, I'm looking through them. Like I said, I wasn't positive, but David Hamilton's pretty young, isn't he? 27.
Yeah, Chapman's old though. Chapman's 37.
Well, yeah, on the pitching side, we got a couple. I know Giolito is right around 30. So is Buehler.
Yep. Justin Chapman. Wilson is also 37, along with
wow, he's 37.
He doesn't look it. He does not. But yeah, anything else you want to add to that hot take?
I think I'm good. It was a good one.
Cool. Though. So another hot take that came up, and again, this one's coming to us from, you know, we're positive right now. The Sox are doing great. You know, this has been an exciting bit of time for the Red Sox as of late, because it's been kind of crappy for a little window. This one right here, Carlos Narvaez, this comes to us from Fly13091 at Fly13091. Carlos Narvaez is the best catcher in Major League Baseball at this moment. So thank you, Fly. I'm going to say this. Carlos Narvaez might be one of the sneakiest acquisitions that the Red Sox have made in the last couple of years. And as far as catchers are concerned, it's going to be talked about for a while. This is one of those positions where, I mean, the Chicago Cubs had Reese McGuire, two home runs in his first game. Just tank, two, and that's it. Hasn't had any home runs since, and I don't think he's crushing it in Chicago by any stretch of the imagination. Carlos Narvaez has put up a sneaky good season so far. I'm not going to say that he's the best catcher. Before the season started, we did our preseason show, and on that episode, I talked about the Seattle Mariners catcher. He's the best catcher in baseball. There's no one that's touching him. And for those, I'm pretty sure he's actually leading Major League Baseball in home runs. I'm actually going to check that right now because I'm very curious.
Oh, major. I don't know. He's got 26. So.
That's leading the bigs. Cal Raleigh's got 26 dingers right now. He's going to be on the short list. This might be the first catcher to hit 50 in a very long time. Last year, he had 34 all year. He's going to have 34 before the All-Star break at this point. The guy's absolutely torching it. But, you know, that's nothing against Carlos Narvaez. Narvaez has been way, way better than advertised. In relation to our other catcher, if Narvaez has one RBI in the next game, in that one at-bat, in that one game, he's already had more RBIs than Connor Wong has all season. It's crazy to think about that. We're sitting on June 12th, and Connor Wong, who had 12 or 13 home runs last year, has no home runs and no RBIs 2.5 months into the season. I mean, that doesn't even seem like it's possible. It's as if he hasn't played, but he just has not been able to generate the same, you know, level. Like, rather than taking a step forward, it's been a major step back. And yeah, Cal Raleigh, he's not the best catcher in baseball, but if he's on your team, you're a better team. I'm really happy that he's here. He is more than earned his opportunities. And honestly, it's going to take something really, really special to supplant him from being the starting catcher right now. Terry, anything you wanted to add?
Yes. So for some reason, he doesn't qualify on the MLB site, but Narvaez would be fourth in all of Major League Baseball in terms of OPS. So good to see there. Home runs, he's like not even top 10 or maybe not even top 15. Maybe I'm missing him there. Oh, where is he? He's 14th in home runs. So, but he probably is the most elite defensive catcher. So I'm good with that. Just get a guy who's going to keep the ball in front of him, who can block, who can hold base runners. I think that's extremely valuable. And Connor Wong can hold base runners for the most part. He does have a decent arm, but I mean, the ball's going to go past him in big spots, and that's definitely hurt us quite a bit. And I mention this every so often, but you go back to 2016, I was a big Sandy Leone guy, and I obviously he wasn't going to give you a ton offensively. You know, he was barely a Mendoza line type guy. He did have power. He would run into one every now and then and absolutely destroy one, but he was a good game caller. And Rick Porcello does not win a Cy Young if he's got any other catcher behind the plate. And one of my favorite stories, I think Rick Porcello told this story about Sandy Leone, was that if Porcello was mislocating and wasn't hitting the spots, Sandy would take the ball and essentially throw a fastball at Porcello so that it would hurt as he caught it, as if to say, get it together. And I just think that's so valuable. And I don't know how much catchers have with game calling and all that these days, because it's very analytically driven. You have the pitch comm. I think sometimes, are they calling the pitches from the dugout with the pitch comm?
I'm not 100% sure. I think the catcher's relaying something. They're hearing a sound like whatever the catcher is, you know, pressing or pushing. I think the pitcher's hearing either a number or something. I'm not sure, because we've also been hearing that, pitchers are having problems with their pitch comms. Like sometimes it gets disconnected or whatever. Me personally, I don't know how you feel about the pitch comm thing. I kind of wish they did away with it. You know, I'm not a huge fan. It was one of the fun elements where catchers and pitchers would change up their calls. And, you know, it's become, you know, to your point, you mentioned it earlier, a very analytics driven game. And, you know, you got players pulling out little things out of their back pocket, like, oh, okay, cool. He likes to hit it here. He likes to hit it there. But it's like they're being lazy with the learning part of baseball. You know, there are some old school guys from the 90s and 80s. They pulled out a little booklet with who hits what where and how frequent, depending on, you know, time of day or against a lefty or a righty, you get laughed at. They'd be like, are you a major leaguer? That's cheating. You know, it's just, you got to do the research and you got to do your homework. And I think that's one of the elements of baseball that they've kind of taken away. They've made it a little bit easier for pitchers. And now if you're not getting it done and you have this added benefit, you only look worse. You really do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just kind of speeds the game up a little bit. And, you know, the pitch clock is here to stay. And I just think
it is.
I think the pitch comm helps pitchers get situated a little bit quicker with the pitch clock. Because, you know, if the clock was winding down, let's say you're down to 7 seconds and the pitcher's still shaking off the catcher because he's not calling the right pitch. You know, now it's, I guess you could step off and reset that way. But I just think if the pitch clock is here to stay, right. I just think pitch comm helps streamline it all. So, I mean, I don't have strong opinions either way. I will tell you one thing I'm not looking forward to is the automated strike zone. I like the human element.
I know a lot of people do, but I think if you're going to have that, you should have the option to tap your head and appeal it. I really do. And if you're wrong, then you yourself lose your appeal. But you know, that's it. I mean, there are some egregiously bad, like they are so bad. Like in that extra innings game, that umpire torched the Red Sox and screwed Romy Gonzalez. He was pretty upset. He tossed Romy and then he tossed Alex.
That was the ball that was low in the zone.
Way low. It was low by like 5 inches. I mean, it was insane. It wasn't even close. That same pitch was not ruled the same way. So I feel that if you're going to call it one way, it does look like favoritism. If you don't call it the same way, like, yeah, it's a pitching element. The pitch was in the same place. How do you mess that up? Like you gotta be pretty bad at your job to do that, you know? So yeah, I'm with it. I'm all for the umpires to stay, like the human element I love, but at the same time, I think there should be a challenge option. Like I don't blame any player that goes like this in the batter's box in a regular game. If you're soft enough to not be able to handle the fact that as the umpire, you blew a call, screw you, dude. Go find something else. Go flip burgers. You know, like forget you.
I think that was Junior Valentine that was behind the plate that night. And he actually,
it was Valentine.
He had a very consistent game all the way through until that call. Cause I in the war room, I mentioned, I'm like, he's got a very tight strike zone. I don't know if it's just this year or maybe it was last year too. It just seemed like umpires were really giving pitchers the inside of the plate more, I noticed. And it just, Valentine that night was consistent for both sides, and it just was what it was until that blown call. And were the bases loaded when Romy was up? I can't remember. Would a run have walked in?
I don't remember.
I think it was. So it was just a really,
been, yeah. Let me see.
Really critical call, but yeah, but it was what
Hold
it was.
On. Bottom of 11. Ref walked. Campbell lined out. Gonzalez struck out looking. Rafaela lined. I remember Rafaela had a bullet to short. I do remember that. But yeah, no, there was only one on.
Only one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Technically, there would have been two on, right? Because there would have been a shadow runner at second.
Awesome. Oh, right.
Right.
So maybe it would have loaded the bases then. Maybe that's what I was thinking.
It would have loaded the bases. That's
it was right. A critical spot. Yeah.
Right.
Fun fact, you probably know this, but do you know where Cal Raleigh is from?
California or Texas are my two guesses.
What would be your last guess?
California.
California would be your last guess?
Oh, that'd be my first guess.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the last guess? The most random, like, WTF state that he could possibly be
I think
from?
Recently we just talked about North Dakota, so probably North Dakota or South Dakota.
No, I don't blame you for going there. He's from Vermont. So
is he really?
He's from Vermont, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no, I would not have guessed that at all. Vermont's, yeah, that's way out there.
And his nickname, I'm just going to say, I know we try to keep it clean.
It's a little bit perverted.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say it, and I was like, wow, that's insulting. Why did they call him that? And I had no idea that was his nickname. So I just quickly went to go look it up. So he was, wow, I did not know that. And he's a Red Sox fan. His family rooted for Jason Varitek and the Red Sox.
Probably.
Wow.
But we got Carlos Narvaez, and I'm good with that.
I'm cool with it.
So other than OPS, he doesn't really rank super high. He's usually like 10th to 15th in a lot of categories. Home runs, on base. He does have a 355 on base. Oh, but you know what? Now that I'm looking at this, some of those catchers only have a handful of games. So I had to switch it because he didn't have enough at-bats to qualify for the regular thing. But anyway, very good, and I'm glad we have him. And I mean, to wrap it up on him, I mean, I guess Vasquez 2017 through 2021 was very good. So, you know, if he can match that or exceed it, I mean, right. You're talking about probably the second best catcher of this century.
Yeah. I was trying Boston. To figure out where did you see that he was from Vermont? Because I'm shocked the Red Sox didn't try for him. Online, I found that he's from Carolina.
Oh, really?
If he's from Vermont, then maybe he was born there. I don't know. And they moved. It's possible. I mean, he was a Varitek fan, so that does make sense for New England purposes. That just makes me sad that we missed a guy from Vermont. You know, like if he's really from there and we didn't get him, that's going to make me a little sad.
Hang on, we gotta settle this.
While you're looking that up, let's see if there's another positive hot take. Let me see if we can find through. Go through the.
Yeah, don't read Johnny's.
Johnny,
did I screw that up? He,
No, maybe you didn't. Maybe you did see it right. I was curious.
No, Wikipedia says North Carolina, and he went to high school in North Carolina.
All right. Maybe there's another person you're thinking of?
How could I screw that up? Like, I would have, like, bet, like, made a serious wager that that was the answer.
No,
if I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and that came up and Vermont was one of the four, I would have just not even blinked.
Here you go. You know, this might be possible. Johnny just brought up, interestingly enough, Fisk was born in a hospital over the Vermont line but lived in New Hampshire. There you go. Some of the best hospitals are in New England. You know, they have the highest concentration of hospitals in the country, all in Boston. So it wouldn't surprise me with Vermont and New Hampshire being right there. I can't read your hot take, though. It's not going to be there. Let's see. Evan, the ball cleaner. Overall pitching has improved. Okay, so Evan, I'll say this much. What is our scope? Are we saying collectively for the season, or are we just saying over the last week? Because we've had a couple of blowouts where we've had to score a dumb amount of runs and we've allowed a dumb amount of runs. But we've also, I mean, on paper, we've also had a couple of really close ones. Obviously, yesterday, the Red Sox won playing home run derby. 4 solo home runs. I'm never going to complain about anything like that. They won 3-1, 4-3. Tampa obviously won the ugly one in extras. We've won 4 of our last 5. So overall, I'd say pitching has done a pretty good job over the last couple games. But before that, I don't know if I can confidently say that we've done a great job pitching. I think we have one of the best closers in baseball. I don't think you're hitting 102. And if you decide to put a little hair behind it and make it 103, I mean, nothing would give me greater pleasure than seeing, I don't know, Aaron Judge strike out in 103 mile an hour fastball up and away, you know, or low and inside. And Chapman's one of the only guys in Major League Baseball, even at the age of 37, the guy can still sling it. I don't know how many balls he has thrown over 103, 104 in the last year or so, but man, oh man, would it be just great to see him, you know, throw 103 gas like 10 times in a row. There's nobody else in the bigs that can do that. You know, there's no one that would do that. And I remember before Chapman became a major leaguer, before he got, added by the Cincinnati Reds, they were toying with him and they were toying with Steven Strasburg about, okay, should they be relievers or should we convert them to starters? And Steven Strasburg made the quick change to becoming a starter. Aroldis Chapman did not and said, no, I want to stay a closer. Chapman's still in the game. Strasburg is not. They've each won pretty incredible awards, and they've got the most prestigious award, period. You know, when you win that World Series trophy, you've done it. And I'm pretty sure Strasburg did it when he was in Washington. Obviously, Chapman did it too. I mean, this is just, you know, wild. But back to the original point, because I kind of rambled a little bit there. I don't know if I can say that our pitching has taken like a step up. I'll say that it's definitely the team collectively as a whole has improved. I'm not saying it's just pitching, because our youngsters are doing damage. So, you know, it's just the team collectively. Terry?
All right, so I have takes on that, but to finally settle the Raleigh questions,
okay.
He was in fact born in North Carolina. His father and two of his uncles, and they were his father's brothers, so all from his dad's side of the family. His father, two uncles are in the Vermont Principals Association Hall of Fame for their high school. So his family has deep Vermont ties.
Boom. Well, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. They were Jason Veritek and Red Sox supporters. It made sense to me. I'm going to give you a pass on that one.
Okay.
So, all right, back to this one. Overall pitching has improved. Go.
Here's the bad news.
Oh, you've been waiting.
I haven't busted that one out in a long time. We're the 24th ranked rotation in Major League Baseball. So it's been a nice week. And if you want to say that we're starting to turn it around, I can get on board with that. You can pour me a glass of that punch. I'll take a couple of sips, probably water it down, 'cause I'm trying to stay skinny, but Buehler just finally he doesn't have a streak yet, 'cause one in a row is not a streak, but coming off a pretty good start. 7 innings, 3 runs. I'll take it. Lucas Giolito, I gave the stat on the last podcast. I'll do it one more time.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
ERA in the 5 decent games. Yeah, 1.50.
That's so insane.
Yeah. And but then when you look at his baseball savant, it's as blue as the Pacific Ocean. So like he's not really killing it in any metric, but maybe those numbers will improve. I mean, in those 3 bad starts, that's 19 earned runs in those 3 games. So that's good enough to blow it up.
Do you want to know something crazy?
What's that?
Lucas Giolito in 2019, 2020, all the way through 2023, because obviously 2024, he didn't pitch. He has your favorite statistic above 9, but not in 2025.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So in, let's see, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 6 straight years had a K9 above 9. This year, he's a little bit under the mark, but I feel like we should kind of give him a pass given the fact that he was injured and didn't pitch at all. So maybe he'll be able to turn it around. 30 years old, coming back from a major surgery. Hopefully it can happen. He has a career record of 63-63. His career ERA is 4.47. And only in 2023 did he eclipse the 1,000 strikeout mark. I mean, this guy was highly, highly sought after in Washington before he got traded to Chicago. Crazy, crazy talent.
Yeah, he was traded right after the Chris Sale trade. So they made the deal with us. And then who did Washington get from them? Eaton and one other guy. Adam Eaton and someone else. And that's how Chicago got Giolito. But here's the one real piece of good news so far anyway. The Red Sox bullpen, I know they did have a rough patch for a little while, but that's since kind of been cleaned up. They've got the 9th ranked bullpen in Major League Baseball with a 3.51. And I will take that all day, any day. And the funny thing is all the teams above them, with the exception of the Blue Jays and I think the Rangers last I checked, or maybe they've gotten back into it. I don't know. I haven't looked at the West rankings for a little while, but every other team besides the Jays and possibly the Rangers are all playoff teams. So that's good. And then we just got a reliever from the Twins.
Yeah, he's got an ERA above 8. So I'm not, I think his name is like Alcana. Hold on, Red Sox.
Jorge something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when I saw Jorge, I was like, oh my God, not the catcher again. Alfaro was the first name that came to my mind when I saw that.
No.
His name is Alcala. Jorge Alcala. Alcala, yeah. Not Alcana. Yeah. So he, you know, he has an ERA above 8. I think I saw. So I'm not thrilled about it. Am I going to lose sleep over it? No, but I mean, so I don't think Jose Alcantara will, you know,
he's been solid though throughout most of his career. Last year, 3.25 ERA across 58 1/3 innings. He's not a closer and has never been a closer really. He only has 1 career save, but a pretty quality guy. And despite his terrible ERA, what's my favorite stat again, Charlie?
Oh, that K9 baby. And he's there.
Yeah, strikeout per 9, 10.4, 8.9 last year. His only other bad season was 2023, 6.23 ERA. But that was only, I don't know if he was hurt or what, but only pitched 17 1/3 innings. And actually right. In 2022, maybe he had Tommy John in there. Obviously, I don't know a ton about him. He's been in Minnesota for a while, and we don't really watch a ton of Twins baseball. They haven't been super relevant in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, so clearly there's some metrics there that Breslow in the front office like. So hopefully it's hard to imagine Andrew Bailey's going to turn him around, but we'll see.
So here it is. He only appeared in 59 games in 2021 after All right. So in 2022, he appeared in two games due to elbow inflammation, which essentially took him out for the whole year. And then, he had a forearm injury in 23. That MRI revealed he had a radial stress fracture in his forearm and was basically done. So he didn't pitch for a very long time. So all we gave up was Andy Lugo, I believe, in the move. So, I mean, it remains to be determined, like, if we're really going to, if that move is going to, you know, hurt us or not. Lugo is playing at high A ball. You know, he's in Greenville. He's not crushing it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. And he's a righty, so, yeah.
Right.
If we get Slayton back. But anyway, as far as the pitching went from the hot taker, maybe things are turning around with the rotation. The bullpen has been somewhat solid. And while we're on the bullpen real quick, you can say what you want about Aroldis Chapman and his past and the controversies and all that, but
he's dialed in, man.
I trust him more than I trust Jansen.
Oh, I think everybody would trust him more than they trust Jansen. Jansen's just one, you know, upset day from, you know, packing his bags and leaving whatever team he's with, you know, the Angels in this case. I thought, you know, I was a huge Kenley Jansen supporter up until what he did at the end of the last season. That really ticked me off. Just packing your bags and just quitting on your team. Yeah. That did it for me. I was done on him. Done.
I was
a huge supporter. Like, yeah, he's going to have frustrating moments and whatnot, but as soon as he did that, man, done. Don't ever want him coming back to Boston. I hope he gets booed.
When I was in Atlanta a couple weekends ago, their bullpen, you know, one's in left field, the other's in right field, and the
right.
The away team was in left, kind of near where I was. I was kind of halfway between the wall and third base, so I wasn't all the way down the line. Right. But I and so there's the bullpen, and then they have their own bleachers in the bullpen where they all sit.
Yes.
And I was looking at it, and you're close enough, you can get a really good look at them. And I'm like, where the hell's Kenley? And it was like the second or third inning. I'm like, what? He's too cool to sit out there with his boys and, you know, in the bullpen. And so I didn't think much of it. I'm like, he's got some clout. I mean, he's a top five closer this century.
And, oh yeah, for sure.
And so I'm like, he's probably in the dugout. And then about the fourth inning, he goes out there. It was as the teams were switching on the field and the music was playing because they were on a commercial, and then he goes, he kind of makes his own entry into the bullpen and everyone's high-fiving him and all that. Like, he's the last basketball player to get, you know, introduced at the start of the game.
He'll finish his career more than likely with the third most saves all time. He's 17 away from tying Lee Smith.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, he's 113 saves away from Trevor Hoffman. That ain't happening. So, you know, it was him and Craig Kimbrel for the longest time. I mean, Aroldis Chapman, 16 years, he's been in the league for 16 years, 37 years old, just like Jensen and Kimbrel. He's 100 saves away from them.
And
crazy.
I don't know where I saw it. It was probably on Twitter, but he was doing pull-ups on this bar, and the dude is a beast at 37.
Wait, are you talking about Chapman?
Chapman, yeah. And yeah,
monster.
And so I'm wondering, like, could he end up being like the Nolan Ryan of relievers, you know, just into his 40s and just disgusting?
He could be. He could be. And even if he loses like a tick or two on his fastball, Chapman's, I mean, dude, it's not going to matter. As far as relievers go, I mean, he's dwarfing all of them. So here's some other facts. Kenley Jansen has 891 career innings, 1,240 strikeouts. So 891, 1,240. Craig Kimbrel, 810 innings, so 81 less innings, and he has 26 more strikeouts. All right? So 810, 1,266. Aroldis Chapman is 22 innings less than him and has an additional 20 more strikeouts. He's just an absolute freak of nature. Now, the difference is Kenley's got 272 walks. Kimbrel, 340. Chapman, 402. He's definitely walked a lot more guys, but hasn't allowed nearly as many home runs. If you can pop Chapman for a home run, you've done something that very few people in baseball have done. Jensen and Kimbrel, not as generous. That you're able to hit them a little bit harder, obviously. Anything else you want to add?
Well, don't forget though that for much of the last few years, Chapman hasn't even been closing. You know, with Kansas City, Texas, and then halfway through last year, Bedard in Pittsburgh just seemed to lose it. So correct. Chapman kind of took over.
Nightmare.
And there was no expectation for most last winter that he would even be our closer. So, and you know, that didn't really get talked about until spring training when Cora's like, yeah, I like Chapman.
Right.
And I didn't like it at the time, but he was the best choice.
He's the only option now. I can't imagine somebody else getting the opportunities right now.
Yeah.
Not with what's going on.
Yeah. Well,
cool, man.
I think we only got to a few, but
yeah. But they were good ones.
We filled
they
it
were
up.
Good ones. Yeah. They were worth it. Cool. So that's going to do it for the Bastards. Everyone have a great one. Take care.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.